So we are actually wrapping up our series on practice today. And next week's going to be really cool. And next week we're going to be talking about the road trip all night long. It's going to be really cool. You're going to hear stories from other students who have experienced the road trip and what that has done for them and their relationship with God and their relationship with others. And so definitely come back next week and make sure that if there's anyone that you know that's on the fence about going on the road trip, make sure they're here next week because they will get a perfect idea of what it's going to be like and why they should go. So definitely be here next week and invite your friends. So with this being the last practice, the one thing that I really wanted to talk about is our story and how important our story is and how that can impact everyone around us. And so I just want to start off, and I know I'm going to start off kind of heavy, but I'm going to tell you guys a little bit of my story. If you guys have been here for a long time, you've heard the long extended version. And then I'll, you know, tell you guys little parts here and there. But I'm just going to tell you guys a little part of my story tonight because I think it's so important to share your story. No matter who you are, no matter what your story is, the important thing isn't the actual story. It's the connections that are made because you're telling your story. So whether you think your story is big or whether you think your story is small and insignificant, it doesn't matter because it's spirit connecting with spirit and the impact is made when you share your story. So when I was in high school, I was in 10th grade, I went to 3 different high schools in 2 different countries. I lived in Columbia, South Carolina for the first part of 10th grade. Then I moved to London, Ontario, Canada for the middle part of 10th grade. And then I came all the way back to Charleston, South Carolina for the second half of the last semester of 10th grade. And when I came into that, you know, it was really, really difficult for me because I love people. I love being around people. It's really hard for me just to, like, spend time by myself, like, in a room by myself or something like that. Like, I crave the attention of people, not just the attention on me, but just being around people. I need that. It's just how I'm wired. So when I moved to Charleston, South Carolina, it was so awkward because I didn't know anybody. I knew no one. But there was a girl in my history class. Her name was Kelly. She was awesome. If you were here for the Bible study, you actually kind of already heard a little bit about Kelly. But she actually did something really awesome. She was a senior, and I was in 10th grade. Why we were in the same class, I have no idea. But I'm really thankful that we were. But she knew I was having a hard time because she just has such a great, beautiful heart that God gave her. And so she came to me and was just like, hey, you know, like me and my friends were going out to this movie. Like, do you want to come? Because, you know, I think it'd be really fun for you. And I was like, well, yeah, sure. Like, I don't know anyone. That's great. She's like, all right, cool. And then so I went to this movie, and I got to hang out with them and meet some other people. And then she's like, hey, we're all going to church on Sunday night. There's this youth group that we're a part of, and like, we think, yeah, you'd like it. And then we're going to Wendy's afterwards, and that'd be cool. You want to come hang out? Well, yeah, sure. I want to come hang out. That's awesome. So I went to church, and then that night I met a guy named Rob. And Rob became my best friend. Me and Rob, we were inseparable. Like, we would go to the mall together. We'd hang out everywhere together. I'd spend time at his house. He'd spend time at my house. And, man, my relationship with Rob was awesome. We were there for each other. But honestly, what happened with me and Rob is we actually became probably, I don't want to say too close, but Rob and I started to get really cliquish, and we didn't invite anyone else in to our friendship. So Rob told me right before summer that he was going to go away to North Carolina for the summer. And at first, I didn't think that was a big deal because, you know, I'm used to being around people. Like, I love people, and you know, that's not going to be a big deal. But what happened was is when he left, because I had not invested in friendships of everyone else around me, and it was just me and Rob, and I didn't invest in my friendship with anyone else, it left me alone. People were going to hang out and do all this awesome stuff, and I was just home by myself. And I don't handle that well. It's not the way I'm wired. I need to be around people. So this need that I had wasn't being met, and it brought about this really bad depression. And one night, it was actually the night before I was supposed to go to a church camp with everyone else in the youth group, I just got super depressed, and I put depressing music on like that would help, and I knew my mom had some pills down in the kitchen because she had just recently had a surgery, and they were pain pills, and so I was just like, you know what? screw this. I'm just going to go get the pain pills and just, you know, be done with it. And so I go back up to my room and I put the pills up to my mouth. And then I don't know why I did this. I have no idea. But I started praying. And I said, God, you know what? Everyone says that you make such an impact in everyone's life at church camp that I'll give you church camp. But if you don't change my life at church camp, then it's over. It's done. So I kind of just got mad and I threw the pills up against the wall. And, you know, I was just like, all right, I guess I'm going to church camp. Cool thing was, at church camp, God did change my life. And it was awesome and it was incredible. And I fell in love with God on a level that week that I had never experienced before. And my life changed. And so when I came back from church camp, you know, everyone kind of knew my story. My church invited me to come tell my story in front of everyone on a Sunday morning. And you have to know the church that I grew up in is a suit and tie, very like rigid, very, you know, laughing in church didn't happen a lot in the church that I grew up in. And there was over 2,000 people that Sunday morning. And so I get up on stage, right? And I'm just a kid. I'm about to be an 11th grader in high school. So I'm wearing like JNCOs, like big crazy jeans with like a chain wallet and like probably a band t-shirt or something. Might have had blood on it because I like metal back then. I don't know. But it was crazy, right? So like they look at me as this punk little kid and I go up there and like, okay, this kid's going to give his story. All right, we'll see how this goes. And so they give me the microphone. And the first thing that I said was, man, before I went to church camp, my life sucked. Yeah. So this eruption of laughter comes from like over 2,000 people at the fact that I said the word sucked in front of them. And like most people thought it was funny and like, okay, this little kid doesn't get it, you know, whatever. But the pastor's wife, I could see her like over here just like gritting her teeth. Like she was so angry and so mad because I didn't share my story in an appropriate way for the setting. And so like I just kind of thought it was funny because that's just the type of kid that I was back then. So I kept saying sucked over and over and over again because I knew that's what got the reaction. So I was like, yeah, my life sucked. And you know what? My relationship with my parents sucked and school sucked and everything sucked. And so, like, everyone kept laughing, and it was great, except for the pastor's wife, who was about to throw a dagger into my throat from the seat in the front. But I learned a lesson there. It was I had to practice telling my story, because when I got up in front of all those people to tell my story, it wasn't really impactful. It was more of a joke than it was anything else. And I feel bad to this day, because if I would have practiced my story, and I really took telling my story seriously, then maybe it would have made an impact on someone's life that morning. But instead, it became a running joke in the church that I still hear about today. Yeah, you remember that time you told a story in front of church? Man, you were dumb. And like, it's like, come on, guys. God changed my life. Yeah, but the way you said it, like, come on. And so over the years, I've practiced telling my story. And now I would like to think I'm a little bit better at it now than what I was before. It takes practice. But it's necessary for you to make an impact on someone's life. You know, I asked you guys in your small group time, what's one movie that has impacted your life? And I was in one of the small groups, and I got some crazy answers, Nick Rowland. you guys will have to ask him about that. But I got some crazy answers, but I want to share with you guys one of the movies that has really inspired me, and it was actually, Cassiano had kind of the same answer, and I've actually showed you guys a video of it, is Pursuit of Happiness. Have you guys ever seen Pursuit of Happiness? So, it's Will Smith, and I'm not a Will Smith fan. I don't particularly like his movies. I think he's really cheesy. Sorry. Yeah, I'm not a Will Smith fan, but Pursuit of Happiness was on point. So as a dad, I'm watching Pursuit of Happiness, and that scene where he's in the bathroom hugging his kid because they have nowhere to live, they're in a subway bathroom, and there's a stranger just like banging on the door wanting to rob them, and he's just protecting his kid in the bathroom, it like broke my heart in such a way that it inspired me that I want to be the best dad that I could ever be. And the fact that myself, I was adopted. So you combine that with the movie and like so many other things, like it inspired me to be the best dad I could ever possibly be. And so that's something I'm really proud of is my passion for my kids. They mean the world to me. Absolutely the world to me. And that movie, all it was a story. It impacted my life. That's all it was. It was a story. It was 2 hours of a story, and it inspired me to change the way that I live my life. It inspired me to be the best dad I could ever be. So if you think about your story, like, well, my story is not pursuit of happiness. My story is not even like yours, Jacob. Like, I wasn't adopted. Like, I didn't deal with depression. You know, my story is kind of normal. So what good is me telling my story? The reason that you tell your story isn't that jaw drop moment. It's not like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you went through that. That's not it. The reason that you tell your story is the relatability that you get with someone else through telling your story. It makes an impact on them just knowing, okay, someone else has a story. Doesn't matter if it's big or small. You make an impact on someone by just the fact that you have a story. So if you don't tell it, you're missing the opportunity to have an impact in someone's life. It's what brings us together as a family. It's what makes me feel like, okay, yeah, I connect with you. The very first time that I met Nick Rowland was on the road trip last year. I didn't know Nick Rowland from anybody, but he was wearing a metal shirt. And I was like, yeah, when I was in high school, I was in a few punk bands and in a few metal bands, and we started talking about bands that we like. And we had an instant connection. It had nothing to do with an impactful story about, hey, I was depressed and I wanted to commit suicide, but then God changed me. It wasn't anything like that. It was, hey, I like metal bands because I used to be in one. And we made a connection. And now Nick, I hope it's okay if I share this, Nick, I consider to be like a little brother. Like, he means a lot to me because it started with a small connection where we just told each other stories. Sharing your story is so impactful. I want to look at some people in the Bible who shared their story and the impact that it made, not just on other people at the moment, but the impact that it made for the rest of history. So if we go to John chapter 1, this is actually how the disciples came to know Jesus. It says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him saying this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? Which is so funny. Like, I can't imagine Jesus being like, why are you following me? I mean, if you picture that, it's weird. They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. So Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him. See, I highlighted tell him in green because he's telling him the story of the fact that he just met Jesus. We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which means translated is Peter. And so, because someone was inspired by Jesus, he went and told his brother, and his brother also became a disciple. That's how we got the 12. You know, we picture that, you know, Jesus just came walking in a crowd, and this is kind of how we picture it, because this is kind of how it was portrayed in movies for a long time, is we picture him kind of like dodgeball, like, I'll pick you, and no, not you. You're slow. You, yeah, I'll get you. I've seen you try to catch before. You're not on my team. You, yeah, I'll pick you and you. And we think that's how the disciples were picked. But that's not actually what happened. The disciples became family with Jesus through relationship and telling stories. It's not done. It keeps going. It says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. So Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him his story about how he met Jesus. We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. So it started with a story, and that's how we got the disciples. Because they were willing to share their story of what meeting Jesus had meant to them. So I want to challenge you guys, any chance you get, share your story. And if you don't know exactly how to share your story, write it out. Write it down. And then you'll know what to tell your friends at school or what to tell other people around you. And what will happen is it's not just about them finding Jesus, but it's about them finding connectivity and finding a family that they can be a part of. Telling your story has two major benefits. First one is you find God. But the second one is finding each other and the fact that you can relate to someone and you can be family. So there's a video that I want to show that's about this guy. He had trained for the Olympics. And if you guys have ever met someone that trains for the Olympics, like that's all they do. It is constant. And it's so much hard work to actually get into the Olympics. This guy that I'm going to show the video of, he was actually the top of the top. Like, everyone thought that, okay, this guy's got the gold medal wrapped up. Like that's it. He had practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. He was well on his way. You know, just like in life with us, we can practice and practice and practice. Everything that we've talked about in this series, we can practice. But let's be honest, sometimes life just knocks us down no matter how much we've practiced. That's where relationships come in. And the relationships start with a story. So let's show the video.
Strong when I am on your shoulder.
So he had practiced and practiced and practiced. But when life knocked him down, it was his dad that ran out and helped him up, and they finished the race together. When you tell your story, you have friendships like that. You have relationships like that. When life gets you down, you have family to pick you back up and carry you the rest of the way. That's why we're here on Wednesday nights. That's why we exist. So I want to encourage you guys to tell your story. So with that being said, you guys know Stephanie Barillo. She's one of our 9th and 10th grade girl volunteers. She's pregnant. I just talked to her a minute ago and just made sure it was okay that I share her story, because she has a story to tell that has actually happened in the past week. Last Wednesday, first let me just say, she was supposed to have her baby the week of the road trip. That's when she was due, months from now. Well, on Wednesday, she started having contractions. And so her husband took her to the hospital, and, you know, they gave her all this medicine and stuff to make the contractions go away. And over a course of a couple of days, it worked, and the contractions went away. And so they were about to leave the hospital on Friday. But before they left, her water broke. And once your water breaks, like, that's it. It's game over. Like baby's coming. Like, there's nothing that you can do. And so, thankfully, she was already at the hospital, and they were able to rush her into an emergency C-section. And the baby was born at, I believe, 26 weeks, I think is right. And it was such a traumatic experience, and the doctors told Stephanie and her husband, if you had not already been at the hospital, the baby wouldn't have made it, and you wouldn't have made it. So thank God that they were already at the hospital. And since that point, the baby was born Friday night, you know, and it's all this trauma, not just to the baby, but also to Stephanie. You know, the baby couldn't breathe on his own, and Stephanie couldn't walk, and it was such a gloomy situation. But now, what's so exciting is Stephanie got discharged from the hospital yesterday. And the baby, they had a son, his name is Thomas. Thomas is breathing on his own. And I actually got to see Thomas yesterday, and I got to pray with the Brillos, and Justin and Megan came with me, and we prayed for Thomas. And Thomas is just amazing. He's breathing on his own, and he's just got this high-pitched little squeal. Like, and like, it's like the cutest thing, you know. And I've never actually seen with my own eyes a baby that small. You know, you see pictures of premature babies and stuff like that, but I'd never seen one before. And we laid hands on Thomas, and we were able to pray with him. And I talked to her a little while ago, and he's doing better and better and better every day. And God has them in his hands. And so what I would love for us to do is, since Stephanie is part of our family, I would love for all of us just to come up here and pray for Stephanie. Since they're not actually here tonight, we'll just all come up front, and we'll just raise our hands up here. And we're going to pray for Stephanie and for Thomas and Stephanie's husband, Joe, that they continue to get better. Life knocked them down. But you know what? As a family, we're going to celebrate that Thomas was born, and he keeps getting better, and God has this under control. And we're going to lift up our family member who's been knocked down. You guys ready for that? Let's do that. Let's come up front. And let's just all stand up here. And since they're not physically here, let's just raise our hands up here to the stage. And let's just worship God, and let's just pray to God that he continues to save Stephanie and Thomas, and that he continues to heal them, and that Thomas continues to grow in a perfect way. Lord, I just thank you so much for Stephanie and for Thomas. Lord, you have a plan for Thomas's life. And we thank you that you're holding them tightly, and you are protecting them. And while it may have started off rough, Lord, we celebrate the fact that he is in this world and that Stephanie is going to be okay and Thomas is going to be okay. And they have a great story to tell that they can impact someone's life and show them you, Jesus. Lord, we lift them up and we just pray that you continue to heal them, continue to grow them, and continue to just, Lord, I can't wait for the Wednesday night that they came back, that they come back here and they just say, we're here. We went through it, but we're here. And Lord, we thank you for Thomas. And we just thank you for all the little blue trains that he's going to get. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, you guys are awesome. Let's just clap for God real quick, because he's so big, and he really does protect us. And that's it for tonight. But again, I just want to encourage you guys, bring your friends next week. Anyone that has the 1% chance of going on the road trip, bring them next week, and it's going to be awesome. You guys have a great night. Dancing around.